This morning's public reading comes from 1 Samuel, chapter 3. I'm going to read the first 10 verses here this morning. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, Eli, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. I think we can call this portion of 1 Samuel 3, we can amply call this the call of Samuel. The call of Samuel. Okay? Now, there are those who tell us that there isn't too much that the Old Testament can offer us, since we're New Testament Christians in a New Testament church, living under the blessings of the new covenant. Somehow the Old Testament is to be laid aside and we are to focus our attention only on the 27 books of the New Testament, no more, no less. If that be true, we lose a whole lot just from this reading. Okay? We lose a whole lot that helps us to even understand some of the deep truths penned by the apostles, found in their letters, found in the New Testament. Now, in our congregation, we believe in the doctrines of grace. We make no apologies. We do not water them down. We try to teach them with love and humility and with caution. But we believe in God's predestination and election unto life to certain people before the foundation of the world, before they were ever born, irregardless of anything that God might see in them down that time tunnel, as some teach. God does not look in the time tunnel and then ratify your choice of him. That's not election. We call that ratification. God just simply agrees with your decision as God learns something down through the time tunnel. That's blasphemous against the all-knowingness of the true and living God. And one of the tenets of the doctrines of grace, and a word that is found peppered across the New Testament, is the word calling. The fact that God calls us unto himself. We don't call him to ourselves. Beloved, he summons us. He invites us. We don't invite Jesus into our hearts. You don't find any of that verbiage found anywhere in the New Testament. He invites us to draw near to him. And by nature, we do not like him. We hate him by nature and by the acts that we make and the choices that we make while in an unconverted state. We are God-haters by nature and by choice, by our deeds, our acts, and by our words, until God grants and gives a new heart. Well, why does God give a new heart to some people, but others seem to never receive a good heart to make that proper choice? Well, the biblical doctrine of calling screams off of these pages. Consider the following. Verse 1 is key to Samuel's call. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. So here's Samuel. He's ministering unto the Lord. But it would seem, if calling means what it means, Samuel's not yet converted. But he's going through the motions of serving the Lord under Eli's mentoring. And then it says, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? Well, there was no open vision. Apparently, there were no prophets in the background, heralding and giving the word of the Lord. The reign of the judges has come to an end. And how does the book of Judges end? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You had a people and a culture and a society drifting in darkness. And now God is going to get ready now to bust that darkness and pierce it with a sword of light. And it's going to be the last judge of Israel, Samuel. So you have to understand verse 1, okay? Then verse 2, we find out that Eli, the mentor, he's really in bad shape. Not only is he overweight, but he's going blind. Okay? We also know that his two sons that we read about in chapter 2 are two scoundrels. They're abusing their duties as priests at the tabernacle, exploiting the people, robbing from the people, as well as robbing from God. And because of Eli's sad condition, he cannot muster enough energy to do something with his two wayward boys. So while he's languishing, overweight and blind, his two sons are running the temple amok. Look at verse 4, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 10. The biblical doctrine of calling. The biblical doctrine whereby God summons someone. Now, before I go any further, what did our Lord say in John chapter 10? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. He also says, I know my sheep by name. So how do I know that Samuel was one of God's elect from before time? Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 and following tells us that the choice on the part of God to elect an innumerable company of people and then to give them to his son for Jesus to purchase their redemption and to save them was done according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself before the foundation of the world. Beloved, you can't jerry-rig that. Now, you can modify it and change it. You can twist what it says. If you do so, you do so to your own damnation, to your own peril. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and they follow me. When the sheep hear the voice of the good shepherd, Jesus also said in John 10, they do not hear the voice of strangers, of the hireling. Now that's their security, which is in Christ. They will not follow a hireling. They will not follow a false preacher, a prosperity preacher, or those who would twist the gospel and present a different Jesus, a different gospel, in a different spirit. Paul warns the Corinthians about. Verse 4, and the Lord called Samuel. He called him at this point in his life. Now, it was quite evident that Samuel has not made the connection who's doing the calling. He thinks it's Eli. Maybe Eli needs something. So Samuel gets out of his bed, scampers down the hall, kind of nudges Eli and says, "Here I am. You called." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Now you get back to bed, son." Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again. Notice, Samuel. Oh, Samuel gets out of his bed, runs down the hall, shakes Eli. Eli wakes up. "Here I am. I didn't call you. Now, young man, you get back to bed." Verse 7. Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, there's two revelations that could be being spoken of here. Was Eli unfaithful in his mentoring of Samuel? It would seem probably that Eli wasn't given Samuel the proper biblical training that he deserved in his service in the tabernacle. Or are we talking about when God reveals himself to the sinner? What is salvation according to Jesus? John 17:3. "This is everlasting life, that they might know thee, the Father, and the one whom thou hast sent, me, Jesus the Christ." According to Jesus, salvation is to know who the true and living God is, and to know the gift that God the Father has given to the sons of men. John 17:3. So it would seem that at this point, Samuel is not yet saved. Well, notice verse 8. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time." And then notice the end of verse 8. Despite his blindness and being overweight and having the judgment of God as it was pronounced in 1 Samuel 2, this old overweight blind man connects a few dots. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. And so what advice does this man give? "Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call again, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Can you imagine what a church congregation would be if every member lived in practice those words? Going off to church, "Lord, your servant is listening. Speak to my mind and heart. Speak to my soul." So Samuel went, lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood. So now, is this the Lord Jesus Christ in one of those pre-incarnated appearances? I think so. Here, for the first time, it says, "and stood." You don't find that in verse 4, 6, and 8. So now there's a one-on-one. Called as at other times, notice, Samuel, Samuel. And how do we know the light bulb went on? Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is paying attention now." If you divorce the Old Testament from your preaching and teaching, just because you're a New Testament church and you only believe there's 27 books of the New Testament is all that you need, beloved, you are hopping on one leg. When you need two crutches, you're hopping on one. Beloved, without the Old Testament as foundation, you have no New Testament to build your church upon. I submit to you Samuel's conversion. By taking the light of the New Testament, understanding what it means when God calls someone, calling unto life, and then calling to vocation, two calls. God's not going to use a pagan judge over his people. He's going to have someone who's saved, someone who knows the word of the Lord, someone who was close to the Lord, who says what? "Lord, I'm listening. Speak." Think of what would happen to any congregation in America if every member of the church said in unison, "Speak, for your church is listening." What a radical transformation that would be. The call of Samuel. Amen.